Last week, we began looking at 6 days of creation. And we talked about God creating the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh day. And that was basically the foundation of the idea of that we had 6 days starting last Sunday through Friday before the new year began. 6 days for each of us to create our own 2020 spiritual growth plan, our challenge for that. And here's some things that we did. We're creating that personal spiritual growth plan 6 days. Okay, that was last week, Sunday through Friday. All right, and I chose six different areas for us to be focusing on in this spiritual growth challenge that we're doing. Okay. And the idea behind this is for us to be able to grow spiritually, both personally, each of us as individuals, but then also how that affects the church. If each of us grows spiritually, it can't help but help the church to grow. All right? So we're talking about spiritual growth here, and that's where we're going. Now, one of the things that I encourage you to do was to write down your spiritual growth plan, and we gave out little booklets. There are some back in the back for those of you who were not here last week. If you watched it online and you did it, you might could transfer it over if you want to your little composition book. But the idea there is to write it down, okay, so that you what? Remember it, right? Okay. We talked about the fact that God gave the scriptures. He wrote it down for us so we would remember it. We don't have to remember it, and we can go back and look at it and see what it is. And that's what the idea is. So hopefully you wrote your plan down throughout the week, and now you have something that you can take with you every day, and you can go back and look at it, refer to it, remind yourself of the things that you're trying to do in your spiritual growth plan. Okay? Now, in this study, this part of our study, we're going to be, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking each week at one of those particular areas in our spiritual growth plan. And what I'm going to do is to share with you some of the thoughts that I had in the plans that I came up with. And this is not saying that you need to have these same things, but these are just some thoughts that in my time of prayer and study that the Lord put on my heart concerning each of these areas. And so I want to share those with you that might help for each of us to be able to apply any of those or all of them to our own spiritual growth plan. Now, before we do that, I have an article here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I ran upon this morning. And so I printed it out, and I wanted to share with you because it pertains to all that we are talking about in this series of growth and so forth. And the headline of this article was "Churches in Germany Need a Change in Outlook." And it was talking about the Christian majority in Germany. It says, "For centuries, Germany's Christian majority was taken for granted, but membership of the two main churches is dwindling. And neither Catholics nor Protestants have found a way to stop the trend." And it goes on to talk about some of the things that are happening and so forth. And it says, leaving the church is really a deliberate act of disassociation. Even if one occasionally hears of committed members breaking away. Rather, it seems as if the two sides of Germany have lost sight of each other. The feeling of religion and belief, or even the feeling for religion and belief, is evaporating. And that is not because everyone is suddenly studying philosophy like mad. The world simply feels that any question can be answered with the help of Google, or at any rate, ethics councils. Thought that statement, that's what really stood out to me about what's going on, not just here in America, we'll talk about that in a little bit later in our lesson, but in the world, okay? And it says, the agonizingly long pandemic, which many experts see as a herald of future crises, can be added to the above list. That is the list of things that have caused people to stop attending church. All these things pose essential questions of meaning. And if people no longer expect anything from the churches, they look elsewhere for answers or ways out, or celebrate themselves as their own religion. And then they conclude the article this way. Perhaps it would be helpful to them to take a look at Eastern Germany, the regions of Germany where Christians have been a minority for many decades. It is there, far more than in the West, that you will find self-assured and cheerful believers who are anything but anxious about their faith. Interesting. As we talk about, and through this whole series, talking about our spiritual growth plan, and in particular this morning, we're going to be talking about worship. The whole idea of coming together as a church to worship God. And the trend that is going on, again, not just here but throughout the world, for people less and less to be part of a church and to be going to church, as we like to say. And I think a lot of the reason for that is that we don't really seem to understand what, quote unquote, going to church is really all about. So let me share with you some things that I think the Holy Spirit put on my heart about worship this past week as I was working on my plan. The first thing that really came to my mind was the idea of serving and worship. And this takes us to 2 Kings chapter 17. Okay? In 2 Kings chapter 17, there's a story there about what was happening with the people that were living in Samaria. Now, this is the time, during the time of the captivity. The northern kingdom of Israel had been captured by the Assyrians and it had been taken away, the people taken away into captivity. And what happened is the king of Assyria had people from all over his kingdom brought to the land of Samaria to inhabit the land. Okay? So he basically relocated people from his kingdom from all over, and they're now in the region of Samaria living there. Okay? The problem is, most of them were Gentiles, and they were not worshiping Jehovah God. They were worshiping all of their idols and so forth. Well, here's what it tells us, and I'm not sure if you could read that really clearly, but it says, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. So these people who were living in that land were not worshiping God, they were worshiping their idols. And God sent lions there to the land and they killed a lot of the people. Well, the word got back to the king of Assyria that we have a problem there in Samaria. Okay? So he took some of the priests that had been captured, some of the Jewish priests that had been captured and were taken into captivity. He sent them back to the land of Samaria so that they could teach the people there about worshiping Jehovah God. Okay? Everybody following me so far? Okay? Well, here's what it says about what was taking place. They worshiped the Lord, but they also served their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. So they were learning about Jehovah, but they were still holding on to their gods from their own homelands. Okay? And then this particular verse is what really stuck out to me. Okay? Verse 41. While these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. Wow. that statement just kind of jumped right out at me, and it just grasped a hold of me. And I thought about it, and I went, does that say anything about where we as Christians are today? You see, it's a really, I think, important and a piercing question for us to consider. Okay? Jesus himself said, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Matthew 6 and verse 24. You see, I can't help but wonder how many of us, you know, struggle with worshiping. We have our own idols. And we don't call them idols, do we? But nevertheless, do we have things in our lives that we have put before God in our lives? You see? And so, therefore, would we not be guilty of doing the very same thing that the people that were living in Samaria were doing at that time? And so, the thoughts that I had on this were for me in my life to make sure that I'm not serving any other idols, any other thing before God. And I'm not talking about just when I come on Sundays to worship the Lord. I'm talking about in my daily life. That there is nothing that comes before God in my life. It just, when I think about it, while they were worshiping the Lord, they still served their idols. Okay? The second question that came to me last week as I was thinking about worship and all these things and studying and praying about it is this particular question right here. Who am I before God? Okay, well, what does that really mean? Well, we started this study talking about creation, right? Okay, and so I go back to the beginning, where the scriptures tell us that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Okay? God then, it says, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So, it basically starts out with the idea of realizing, where do I come from? And the answer to that question is, I come from God. He created me. He created you. See? And so, what that really says to me is that I have to remember, if I'm going to grow spiritually in my worship of God, I have to remember who I am before God. Meaning that He is the Creator, and I am the created one. And I think that sometimes we lose sight of that. The psalmist says to us, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So, in other words, when I come before the Lord, I know for me, I need to always remember who it is that I'm coming before and who I am. He is my Creator. He made me. See? And that should cause me to really think about Him when I'm worshiping Him, rather than me thinking about myself and what I've got going on in my life and what I've got planned to do today and all of the other stuff that so easily distracts me sometimes from
worshiping God. And I realize and remember who He is and who I am. Okay? The psalmist in Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." And that's a call for us to, again, understand and remember who we are. That God is the Creator, and He created us, and we come before Him, and that coming before Him to worship should be in joy and happiness. But I can't help but think, you see, sometimes, you know, do we kind of get that mixed up a little bit, where I have to realize I've got to respect Him, who He is, and His will as my Creator, and not try to recreate Him into the image of what I want God to be. And I think sometimes there are an awful lot of people who that's what they're doing. They don't like God as He is, so they want to kind of recreate Him into what they want Him to be, and then they'll worship Him. We hear people saying things like, "Well, my God would do this," or "My God wouldn't do that." We need to realize that God is the Creator, and He created us not to do what we want to do, but to do what He wants us to do. Okay? Then, when I'm really in touch with who I am before God, then I'll find the joy that there really is in worshiping Him. You see, God doesn't want us, and I thought about this a lot. God doesn't want us coming to worship Him on Sunday morning. The church gathers. He doesn't want us coming to worship Him with sourpuss faces on and just kind of, you know, and then we sing, "I'm happy today. Oh, yes, I'm happy today." You know, are we? Are we filled with joy because we get to worship God as a family today? You see? Joyfulness. Joy in worshiping God, as we've mentioned a couple of times this morning, the privilege that we have to worship God. What other people in the world have a God like that? You see? The third thing is that I really focused on a lot was the idea of having confidence in His presence. So when we come together to worship God, it's really an understanding that I'm in the presence of Almighty God. All of us are. You see? It's a matter of understanding that we are in the Holy of Holies. Or another way to understand it is that we're in God's throne room right now. Right now, as we're sitting here today, gathered together, we are in God's throne room. Okay? How do I know that? Well, let's go to the text that Chuck read for us as we began this morning. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. He says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence," okay, confidence. Understand something really important. This just kind of jumped out and grabbed me as I looked at this, all right? Did you notice the word "have" there? Okay? That word is present tense. Okay? He doesn't say, since we will have confidence, looking for, you know, the day when we get to be in heaven with Him. He's not talking about a future confidence. He's talking about a present confidence, what we have right now. Okay? We have it now. Have what? Confidence. Okay, so we got a lot of confidence. And I think sometimes people have confidence that is kind of misdirected. Because their confidence is more in themselves than it is in God. But for our purpose this morning, look at what he says we have confidence in. Okay? to enter the most holy place. That's what we can have confidence in. That's what he gives us, to have confidence to enter into the most holy place. That's where God is. And it's what we have right now. And that's why I can say, right now, we are in the most holy place. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying this building is not, you know, a holy place. It's just a building. But we are in the presence of Almighty God. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us, we have confidence to be able to do that. To know that we can enter into the presence of Almighty God. We can bring to Him our songs and our prayers and our remembrance of what He has done for us. We can bring all of that to Him in confidence as we worship Him. Because He then says, He follows that up with this, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. You see, worship, at least in part, it is really about drawing near to God, is it not? You see? And God calls us together on the first day of every week. We have the opportunity, the privilege, to draw near to Him, to enter into the most holy place, to commune with Him. But we need to do that with a sincere heart. And one of the things that I thought about in that particular aspect was really this kind of a contrast, where when our heart is sincere, then I have the attitude of where I get to worship God with His people. I get to come and worship God with you. Instead of, I have to go to church. See, there's a huge difference between those two, isn't there? Okay? So do I realize how blessed I really am to be invited by my Creator, the Creator of the universe, to come and worship Him? What a huge privilege that really is. But that's what our Creator has given us the opportunity to do. To commune with Him. To enter into the most holy place and commune with Him. Wow. You see, you thought it was all about coming and sitting here in this building and listening to me preach for a little while and then going, when's He going to shut up so we can go eat? Oh no. It's so much more than that, isn't it? It's not about me. It's about us coming together to worship God. Amen?
Amen?
And we get to do that. What a privilege it is. Those are some of the things that I thought about as I was working on my plan concerning worship in this past week. But here's something else to consider. And I'm going to talk primarily to those of you who are with us, but you're worshiping online, okay? For those of you who have not returned physically to worship, okay? Now, first of all, let me say this. I know that there are some of you out there who really shouldn't be coming out. Whether you're struggling with COVID or other health issues that you have that prevent you from physically being here. And that's why we do the live streaming. Because we know that there are some who physically just can't be here or shouldn't be. There are a few people that we have that are in that category. It is not healthy for them to just go out. But you know, on the other hand, I'm afraid there are too many folks that are really feeling comfortable going to church in their pajamas. Gotten used to it. I don't know if you can see there underneath that bold type there. Everybody's doing it. Isn't it nice to be able just to get up and I don't have to go to church? I can just sit at home and worship online. And yes, that's convenient, and it serves a certain purpose, but that purpose is not to keep you from being here. You say, that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is for those who can't be here. So we want to encourage, as the writer of Hebrews continues on saying, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And we've got folks that are members of this congregation who have gotten in the habit of giving up meeting together. But rather, he says, let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The day of the Lord is coming. And I'm convinced that what our attitude is toward worshiping God is going to have a lot to do with our eternal destiny. So here's a call for all of us, not just those online, challenge, to make a commitment to regularly worship together. Okay? Regularly, a commitment to do that, to be here. Because when we understand that we're gathered together, our primary reason for being here is to worship God. Mm-hmm. That I get to do that. Will you commit to doing that regularly? See? Those who can, those of you who are worshiping online through the live stream, will you come back to worship? That's a challenge I'm issuing to you. Those of you who can do that, come back. This is where you need to be. Because you can find encouragement from those of us who are here, and we can find encouragement from you as well. I tell you, sometimes it's just downright discouraging. You look out and we look around and we go, where is everybody? We know there are so many more people that could be here but aren't. So my challenge is, will you come back to worship? Okay? Will you commit to regular attendance? Okay? To be here. Because you're coming here to worship God. All right? And the last thing is, will you prepare mentally to come to worship Almighty God? Okay? Think about what you're doing before you even get here. So that, by the way, that would cause me to be ready when I get here, to be here on time, to be here ready to worship God when we start. You see? And for a lot of our men, you see, you know, there's only a handful of us that are serving in the worship and we're having to do a lot of things because we don't have enough of our men here. And it shouldn't be that way. When we understand that we get to worship Almighty God. Okay? So, this is the challenge for us all. Draw near to God through our worship. Okay? Draw near to God through our worship. Now, Chuck has a song that he has chosen. Invite anyone that is here physically. If there's a prayer need that you have, a request that you have that you would like for us to lift before the Lord, then let us know what that is. Whatever we can do, if there's something going on in your life you need some help with, then let us know that. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if you have a need that we can help you with, then we invite you to let us know what that is. Wesley is not here this morning. We will just invite you, and I'll give you another phone number, and I'll give you a second to write this down if you need to. If you have a prayer request, you can text my phone number, which is 804-586-6038. And you can text during this time, and I will address your prayer requests. I don't have my phone on me because it's in my office, so that I don't have it ringing while we're here. But I will get it afterwards, and I will address your questions. If there's anyone out there who is not yet a Christian and you desire to become one, then you can do that as soon as is possible with you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sins that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Again, all you have to do is contact me, text me at my phone number I just gave you. I'll give it to you again and let me know that that's what you do, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible for you. 804-586-6038. Let's stand together and sing. Chuck, come on up.